Welcome to Local Matters, where I am in the studio today with a band that I just discovered. I didn't discover you guys, but I happened to walk in one night and hear you, and I was absolutely blown away. I've been a music fan for years. I was in radio for years. I love a broad array of music, and to one of you I had texted, I think that you know that I own all Rolling Stone magazines from the beginning up to 1977 in bound form. And along the years, and I've kept turntables for years, and I have a large vinyl collection. I have every format of music you can have with a great sound system and mixing board. I go back into Rolling Stone from time to time and just pick up and say, let's look at 1974. And because I can buy vinyl and play it, I'll discover a band that the critics happen to really like a lot, and good critics are enthusiastic, and you think, then they disappeared. So they didn't get a good distribution deal, or whatever the case may be, or didn't get promoted. And in a way, that's kind of what I'm, you know, wanting to do here is tell other people about you, you know, because I was really excited to hear you. But not initially. As I had said to one of you, I went up to Livingston to this place called the Steel Coop, and for those that are local or live in the region, you might know where the Steel Coop is, and if you don't, I'd say check it out, especially for and the food is great, and the music happened to be great that night. And this is becomes a local broadcast, but a worldwide podcast. So, you know, I would invite my friends who are in other parts of the country and the world, when you come here to visit, you know, we're going to check out this band, and we're going to talk about the various bands you happen to be in. But the way I got introduced to you was I went to this restaurant to have a quiet dinner and a conversation with a couple of people, and I walked into the entrance that was closest to you, and you guys were blaring, if you will. At the moment, that's how I felt, and I just went, oh, no, you know, come on. I mean, I love music, but I'm like, I came here for a conversation, not to hear like a loud band. Sat as far as we could away, by the way. I said to the waitress, put us as far away from the band as you can.
How dare you.
And we're yelling over each other. Man. And as I'm talking, I'm facing, I don't even see you from where I am. I'm hearing you play. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, that actually is a great, I mean, that's a great song. I don't know if the people, you know, we'll talk about the song itself in a couple of minutes. But what I first noticed was across from me in this expansive place, and this place was rather empty, and yet you were filling it with energy and beautiful music, great music, lively music, was this little girl about 8 or 9 years old, and she was dancing with somebody that I thought might be her grandpa, and when I did ask later, it was.
So, you know, yeah,
right? Cool, yeah. And there she was going on the dance floor, this granddaughter and the grandpa. So you've reached two generations vastly apart from each other together and bringing them together. And goodness gracious, if music can't do anything else, it's like, you know, at least give us a good time or let us relate to you emotionally. And then further across the room was a kid who I think they said was 2 when I went to ask the parents, because I was so fascinated to watch him. He's at a banquette seat facing away from the table, just holding on to the edge of this thing, and he was bouncing up and down, and I thought, that's me at 2 years old. I remember that, you know, and he just kept bouncing, 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 and I just suddenly was in love with the whole moment first, and then I walked over so that I could see you guys play, and, you know, from there I just was blown away by it. And one of the songs that you did that I was absolutely fascinated by, there are a lot of Charlie Daniels songs that everybody knows, and arguably the most played is Devil Went Down to Georgia, but you guys were doing a song by Charlie Daniels Band, and it's Uneasy Rider. And what people don't know about Charlie Daniels and contemporaries is that we're in a version of what was called Outlaw Country, and it was called Outlaw, either self-titled or given that label by people who wanted country music to sound, to progress in a way that actually was taking it further away from country roots. And So Charlie Daniels himself, you know, has a couple of occasions, as did other outlaw rockers at the time, of being the voice of the person on the outside, you know. And so by a lot of people's definition, Charlie Daniels would be a redneck, right, by some people's definition. And sure, I'm one of those people that people have been trying to define or categorize for years, and I just tell them, I don't know either. So figure it out if you want to, but I don't care what category I'm in. The song is about a guy taking a trip out to L.A. I don't remember where he doesn't. It's not, I don't think it's mentioned where he comes from, right? But he's on his way to L.A., and he talks about crossing the Mississippi line, and his tire's about to blow, and his spare is flat, and he's limping along trying to find some help for him. And so He also happens to be in a car, as we found out later, when somebody notices him, that his car has a peace sign on it. Now, in that era, and prior to that, you know, the peaceniks were considered hippies and leftists, and you've got this redneck, by other people's definition, who's been declared an outlaw, and he knows he's in a category separate from, you know, country, mainstream country music, singing about people that rednecks would have called hippies, that they happen to not like. So he's just the voice of all these people, which, and it's a great long song and a great story, you know, to tell. And I was blown away by your version of it.
That's funny, because that's probably the only time we've ever done that.
Yeah, no, and there's actually two of them. There's a part two.
There is a
totally different story.
And it was, 1988, totally different story. But I believe that was the first time and only time we've ever done that. For some reason, we thought of it, and he had the words on the tip of his tongue.
Sort of.
We went for it.
Wow. Sort of. Wow. It was a struggle.
He's got a huge room in there, just full of lyrics, and I don't know how he does it sometimes. Yeah, it's just a song we haven't done in a long time. They just do that, and boom, he nails it word for word.
That's amazing. Here on Local Matters today, we're in the studio with Home Cooked Meal, which includes four guys who make the music of Tin, and your ensemble is to me, absolutely perfect. We have Matt Humphreys, who is on guitar and vocals. I'll come back to Jeremy, because there's an instrument about which I knew nothing until I saw you that night, and that's how I struck up conversation with you guys. But Dave Preston, also on guitar and vocals. Matt Moore on upright bass, playing an upright bass. And Matt, forgive me for saying this, but it's just really a compliment. You know, arguably that upright bass is about four times your weight, and there you are standing next to this thing, and you know, and you're taming this thing and bringing music out of it. And years ago, I saw Lee Rocker, who was born Leon Drucker, of a group called the Stray Cats, who brought back rockabilly in the 80s, and I was fortunate to see them on stage with Carl Perkins, by the way, speaking of rockabilly. So I was watching you play stand-up bass and just going, look at that, I wish I could do that. So you've obviously got some physical prowess as well as musical ability, right? Are you hanging on to that thing, or is it like leaning on you? Because I mean,
I mean, most of the time using it to stand up.
Yeah, that's great. You know, Lee Rocker was known, and I saw him do it live in concert. He was known for getting on top of his, and if I don't know, ever seen him pick his up and play it, but it's an astounding feat of nature, and that's
I've ripped a couple apart, so I don't really do that anymore.
You've ripped a couple apart, probably. How doing what? Tell us.
Standing up on them,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to resist.
Jumping
right?
off of it, and you hang on to that little ledge, and just tears off the entire face.
I mean, to a lot of people, that would be intimidating. So there's always the desire to dominate it rather than let it dominate you, right?
I started out playing like washtub. It was just like a bucket with a mop handle and a weed recorder on it. So it was like stepping up to that. And, you know, I never even had a car worth that much money. So it was like, oh, well, I guess I have to learn how to play.
Wow.
Now,
that's an important statement. You never had a car worth as much money as it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, at least you had your priorities straight.
Yeah, priorities were in order.
You also have to have a special kind of vehicle to transport it. That's about the only thing
to find
about
out.
That.
Yeah.
It is definitely a vehicle within itself.
It only fit in so many of our cars.
Yeah. Well, it was an amazing night, and I've tried again and again to see you play, and I've been in and out of Cokeville, where I'm finally settling in, is making it my primary home, and will be here a lot, and looking forward to seeing you. And in the meantime, this becomes this exponential experience in that each of you plays in another band, or a couple of you play in bands
several
together.
So
three of us play in a few different bands together, and then there's another one that
me and Holt or Jeremy played in.
Wait a minute. You started to say his nickname, which is
Homer.
Homer.
I thought Homer. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we call him Hump.
Force of habit.
Not Simpson related. So.
Yeah. By the way, I'd love you to just go down the line and each of you talk about tell them your name and other bands you're involved with.
All right. So my name's Matt Humphreys. Everybody calls me Humps. I front Humps and the Blackouts, which I play acoustic and vocals, and then Homer plays drums for us. And here recently, Dave has been playing some lead guitar for us in that band, and every once in a while, Matt will fill in and come play bass on that band.
Cause we used to play together back in, what, 2012?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's right. He was the original player for Humps and the Blackouts when I first moved out to Tennessee.
So, I see.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. We have an upright player that lives in North Carolina and a fiddle player that lives in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
So getting everybody together for gigs.
Our steel player lives in Nashville.
And they all play in different bands. And so sometimes getting everybody to line up is kind of like a...
It's amazing how it works out, though.
Yeah. It is. It really is crazy how far it works out.
And how many bands? Who plays in the most bands here, by the way?
Me and Dave are running neck and neck on that.
It's hard to say because, you know, the three of us have some bands that we all play in. And then we each have other stuff that we do otherwise. But
The bands that you play in, for example, tell the listeners your name.
I'm David Preston. Yeah. I Home Cooked Meal, obviously, and then another band, Faraway Dogs, which is the three of us.
Faraway Dogs.
Faraway Dogs.
Like the Stones, Faraway Eyes, but these are dogs instead of eyes, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And we have a banjo player and a really prolific songwriter and acoustic guitar player.
Great.
So that's Faraway Dogs. And we also play in a band called Jade Arrow and the Archers. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's the three of us plus...
two girls.
Yeah, Jade and her sisters, Jade and Sarah. And they, you know, sing some lovely harmony and play guitar and a little... And Sarah plays some percussion and things like that, you know, shakers, tambourines. And so it mixes well with what Homer's doing on...
You know, in a way...
flea market, it's still a thing, right?
Well, yeah, you know, for over 10 years, I've played in a band called Flea Market Hustlers, and, you know, we've been around doing it as often as we can.
Yeah, I want to talk about more of that when we come back and listen to more of you guys talk about being in the various bands you're in, including the one that I heard for the first time some week ago called Home Cooked Meal. But equally important to listen to are our sponsors who make that possible. So let's give them a listen, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters, where I am so excited to be in the studio today with some musicians that I stand in awe of, and they are called Home Cooked Meal, and each of the members are in different bands, and in a way, it's similar to what went on in rock and roll as its transition, or music in general, not just rock and roll, folk music, rock and roll, roots-based music that came out of the 60s and the late 60s, a lot of people call hippie music. And as we were saying earlier, Charlie Daniels' band, and Charlie Daniels has been referred to by certain people as a redneck, and he is a redneck, is singing about a hippie that he's giving. So he is the voice of the hippie who's being oppressed by a redneck. So, you know, it's sort of this great statement. But, you know, they were all in that period in the late 60s, early 70s, coming together and playing in each other's bands, you know, and they would cross over from state line to state line. And a lot of them wound up in Laurel Canyon, you know, in L.A. And there's this Laurel Canyon sound, as they say, that came out of it and still echoes today. And that was the beginning or transition toward what would become California rock, where the same thing, you know, Linda Ronstadt, as you may or may not know, when she was put on the stage at Troubadour at the beginning of her career as one of the greatest, you know, most successful singers ever, picked Eagles' Desperado to sing. And Eagles were doing okay by then, but because she got up on stage and did what she did and blew everybody away with a voice that is arguably one of the best ever in any music genre, She took the Eagles to this kaboom level, you know, and therefore they would always pay respect to her and work with her on stuff. So you guys are just doing this thing that's been around for a while but has gone kind of dormant as it becomes about me, and a single, you know, pop star going up the charts and whether they rise or fall. But you guys are still just coming together and supporting each other mutually and playing in other bands. And I think we were just getting around to talking about bands that that you play in as well. So tell the listeners your name and bands that you're in.
I'm Jeremy Perry, also known as Homer.
Homer.
I play with David here in Faraway Dogs and Jade Arrow and the Archers. And we've got Home Cooked Meal and Humps and the Blackouts. And the only thing else I do other than that is pretty much just sub work. I work with different people that need a drummer or even a cajonist at this point. So I'm playing actually tomorrow with a couple guys. One of them I've never met, and we're playing a show tomorrow.
Yeah, let's talk about cojones for a second. So
cojones.
and the double entendre that it is. I have never in all my years in listening to music had seen one. I've seen so many types of music and places, you know, big and small. I've been in New York City for years and Chicago, and I live in a very tiny town about 10 miles from where Washington crossed the Delaware, and see a lot of Americana music there, you know, because it's based on the birth of our country. But I walked in that night and you were sitting on a box for all I could see, and you just were banging on this
beatbox, a lot of people call it.
You know, and I just am looking at this thing, but it's producing a sound that is not like a box beating on a box. And I've seen native percussive instruments in my visits to the islands, for example, in the Caribbean and in places where I've traveled in Spain and Italy and primitive stuff. And I just said, I got to ask you, what is that? And you said, it's a cajon. And I speak fluent Spanish, and everybody knows what cajones are anyhow. And I said, you mean cajon like a cajon? And one of you said, yeah, look where it's located. You know, sitting on this thing, and I, you know. And I was kind of enraptured. And then just within a couple of weeks, I saw another band playing somewhere else, and the guy had one that in the front actually said cajon and had a mic in a hole at the base. And so I don't even know. Does yours have that? Is it mic'd into a – and how does it produce the sound that it does other than what you're doing to it?
It has a sound hole behind it.
Okay.
I put a mic inside that hole.
Right.
That's all I do with it.
Yeah.
It has a snare pattern on the top and the bass pattern on the bottom, and you just got to separate the two.
I didn't know that. It has a snare. You get one more time.
It has a snare pattern at the very top of it.
So for,
it's
for
separated from the bass pattern, which is lower.
We all kind of know what a bass is, but a snare, for somebody that wouldn't know, produces what sound?
A crack.
There you go. Exactly.
Basically.
So, yeah.
I mean, in any rock and roll song, you got to have a snare.
Yeah. You were just boom, crack, booming the whole night, right? So, and I didn't know that. So it literally has like a little horn of its own or an amplifier that the microphone picks up that's taking this sound out of it. You know, that's more, is that no, hang on a second. Go for it. That's not exactly right.
Well,
right?
Where he's talking about on the snare pad on the inside, there's actually like rattles or like little bells underneath.
Mine has bells, yeah.
To the inside.
Some of them have bags with beads in them.
Right. That's how you get that.
That's how you get that snare sound. Yeah.
On a snare drum, there's like wire.
Spring.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
snare drum. So that rattling.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same concept. As he hits the front of that, it creates that rattle, which is bolted or mounted to the inside of the cajon.
You know.
And so when he hits that, the mic picks everything up.
Amazing. I had no idea. I'm looking at a box and thinking, why is this, you know, I mean, I didn't know. It wasn't, why is this guy banging on the box? Just sort of like, how is it producing the sound? It wasn't a box sound, you know.
Yeah.
And anybody can bang on a box and create a sound, but it's an amazing thing. And, you know, again, I've read and read and read about music for years, as I said earlier, being a person that owns Rolling Stone magazine in bound form, you know, and that way I can just grab this off the shelf. I can't ever remember reading about either the Rolling Stones, of whom I'm a big fan, and I actually own all of the Rolling Stones outtakes, studio takes that aren't that have never been recorded for the public. I've, you know, searched for years and got my hands on these. We were talking earlier about the Stones' Some Girls off microphone, and the fact that they went into the studio intending to include a whole other album of what was their only Bakersfield-sounding song on the album, which was Far Away Eyes. And the studio said, absolutely not, shut the whole thing down, and it became the classic that it is. But all the musical tracks had been recorded and out there in bootleg form, which I had acquired over the years. And just some years ago, they came out with a Some Girls Deluxe Edition. Jagger went back in the studio and added his vocals to these kind of honky-tonk, Bakersfield-sounding tunes that were very different from this. The album was whittled down to be a very diverse album that included punk and disco, but it would have been this double album. And now I have what I just call it Some Girls Part 2. But in all these things that I've listened to them play in other bands, I just had never seen a Cajon. So I'm really glad at 58 to be learning about something new for the first time.
Homer's a really good set drummer, but that's almost his main instrument now, right? It's Cajon.
Yeah, I mean, I've been riding.
There's more demand for that, it seems like, right now with what's going on.
It started, I got it for Hippie Jazz.
Weekend at Hippie Jazz.
Because, I mean, I had to do some kind of a hand drum thing.
What is Hippie Jazz, a band? Hippie Jacks?
No, Hippie Jacks is a festival.
A festival.
Jamming at Hippie Jacks. Okay. Cool. It's an Americana festival right outside of town here.
Nice.
And there's a lot of campfire playing and stuff going on. Yeah. And set drummer, you know, has a hard time with that.
So. Even djembes are just a little too much for bluegrass. You
right.
Know? It's not the right sound for bluegrass.
Yeah, guys out there on acoustic guitars, and everybody's more, like he says, more or less playing bluegrass. The Cajon has that. It just keeps that beat behind it.
Yeah.
You can make it, it adds a little bit more pulse to it.
You make like a bass and snare.
Right.
You know, that train beat going on.
It's great.
Right,
It's a really, really cool thing.
You know, you were talking earlier, I just never gave thought to the fact that, like, how difficult it would be for a guy, initially I would say your size, you know, and yet you've got an enormous amount of strength in this body with this big thing next to you, this stand-up bass, and I never thought about how difficult it is to transport a stand-up bass to be able to go to festival after festival. And so do you carry your upright or stand-up bass, Matt, and are you able to go to these outdoor festivals and out by campfires and all of that
just on a stage? Put in a little bit of extra work. I've joked many, many a time about turning it into firewood and picking up harmonica or anything that doesn't weigh that much and twice as big as I am.
Yeah, yeah. What drew you to it to begin with, for example?
Oh, just the sound.
The sound,
I'd played one finally, and I'd been tinkering with like electric bass and punk bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I heard just the sound that is produced acoustically from this instrument, I was just blown away because you feel it. Like you feel the rattle inside you, and it's just feels really, really powerful.
Many people we could point to as as I say so many people, I really mean to say among the many people who have played stand-up or upright bass over the years, there's actually a small handful that we can look to as the great players, you know, of that instrument. It goes, you know, back into big band and early 20th century blues, and, you know, so it was always an essential part of a lot of bands, and it crossed over genres, you know, and then generations, you know, and here we are now in 2020, and I heard you watched mostly and listened to you play this thing, but the visual impact is pretty cool, you know, that you've got you must be a strong guy. Is this guy strong?
I've never tested him.
140 pounds.
Never had a reason to test him. He can lift the bass, and I guess that's all that matters.
No, that's what I mean. He can
load his own bass into the vehicle. You know, so I guess that's all.
He carries his own amp. That's
and
all.
And the amp is way heavier than the bass. So I mean,
I'm sorry, Andy carries his own amp. Is that what you just said? Andy carries his own amp. So these are your superhero abilities, right?
Yeah,
the ability
much.
To play,
slapping
the bass, and carry the amp with you. So I've missed so many opportunities to hear you play, and I've been running in and out of town and finally getting settled in. But I'm really excited about all these bands that you've mentioned and going to see each and every one of them, you know, in their various incarnations that include you guys doing. You said earlier that you, I think you said fill in, you know, but in many ways those the classic, what they call a studio musician, you know, so, and it's in a way you're not only filling in, but you're the person that they're relying on to fill in, you know what I mean? So you become this essential part that they really are depending on, you know, so,
yes.
it's an important role that you play. And that's the thing that's great about you guys right now. And what's happening with music that I'm seeing on local levels and nationally is, you know, coming back together, you know, after years of, all of us being taught to be me, you know, by way of this technology and Facebook and various other social media platforms, all of which have the potential to do good and did have the potential to do good. But I feel like many of this had us all in our rooms, even if somebody's in the next room, but ultimately alone at your computer. The moment you're locked in that computer, the person standing next to you doesn't get your attention and you don't hear them. Thinking that you're being connected to everybody or more people than ever, and yet we're not. We're being separated. And so you guys come together as a band. You know, if you look at the word band, you know, a band-aid is called a band-aid because it binds us together. You're bound together, and then you separate, and you go bind yourself to these other things. You become this giant network of music. And I'd love to talk to you guys each individually about more of that later on Local Matters, but it's time for us to go, and I've had a great time chatting with all
it's
of you
a pleasure.
And collectively.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rob.
Yeah. See you again soon.
Yeah, definitely.